The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, I am live. You know, it's a beautiful day outside. Hopefully you get a chance to enjoy it. We're sitting here preparing to give you some information and an approach to diagnostics in the healthcare arena that is controversial, but really not so much because it's been around for decades and its application is becoming more accepted. Why? Because it's sometimes far more accurate than any other form of diagnostics. We're talking about breast thermographic imaging, and many of you have gone out and had mammograms, but we're going to expand the topic just a little bit. And not only we're going to talk about breast thermography, which is the topic of our program at the Rozelle Center for Healing this Wednesday evening, the 7th, but we're going to talk about the applications of thermographic imaging as it relates to other diagnostics relative to immune function in the body and circulatory patterns elsewhere. Now, to help me do that, somebody far smarter than me is my guest today, Dareth Painter, who'll be your host, your presenter this Wednesday evening. And, you know, I'm not going to muddy the water here. I'm going to make sure that she gives you the facts so she doesn't tell me afterwards you said the wrong thing. Having said that, welcome, Dareth. Welcome to the program. It's tough getting you on. It's like pulling teeth. But every time that you're on the program, it's like, why don't you have her on more often?
Because I hate being on the program and doing public speaking. That's the simple reason. But no, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's an important piece of information that we're going to cover today, and a lot of people have some data on it and others don't, but you've been at this game now for probably, I think, the better part of 12 years or so.
Try 16 years in Rozelle Center for Healing.
Oh, that long?
Yes, absolutely.
See, what happens like that, you become part of the fixture, so I don't even know you're there anymore.
It's like
it's always or it was yesterday. I'm not sure which.
Exactly. No, but it's been 16 years and many, many patients coming to thermography centers at Fairfax to look at being proactive in their health and well-being.
Let's walk through, you know, women today are seeing increase in spike of breast cancers. And,
yes.
And interesting enough, and I want to put this out there, is that years ago, you know, if you had asked me the differential between men and women with breast cancer, I would tell you that it's almost unheard of for a man to have breast cancer. Today, depending on the author that you read in the clinical presentation, they'll tell you that somewhere between 3 to 5% of all men have, or not 3 to 5% of men, 3 to 5% of all breast cancers are male. And it's because of the environment. It's because of the estrogenics. It's all those things. But we're also seeing a spike, which really is off base for this program, in male prostate cancer, because yes, the breast tissue and the prostate are the same.
Are the same. Yes.
So let me start with this and ask you a very fundamental question. For those who are listening, and probably the majority of people out there, have no idea why and what thermographic imaging is and why it's so important in diagnostic value.
So very simply, I'm going to put it in layman terms. Thermography is like body Doppler. We all watch, you know, the weather report, and we see these images of the storm coming in and all the colors and all the condensity of these colors as the storm comes in and moves out. That same principle applies to thermography of the body. We're looking at the body's ability to give us information through thermographic or thermal heat that the body, you know, extends, and we capture those images to determine if there are characteristics of issues that we need to be aware of. So what we're doing is we're looking at metabolic changes within the body, blood flow issues, instead of anatomical ones.
You know, when you're dealing with any health situation in the body, And I'm going to be very basic, very fundamental in explaining situations. Something that is old and degenerative is actually relatively cold compared to the surrounding area. Something that is acute and hot and moving and growing is hot, it's inflammatory. So,
yes.
And in thermography, we're looking at the differentials, as you said, in the different gradients of what things are. So if we have an active something, in this situation, we'll say it's a breast tumor that may not even be there relative to mass, but is beginning to develop, there has to be a garden, if you will, that is forming underneath it. And that's what the thermography is picking up. Is that right?
Yeah. So what it's doing is it's looking for inflammatory markers. It's looking for changes away from the homeostasis of the body, the normal homeostasis of the body. Specifically in breast cancer, what we're looking for is what we call an angiogenesis. That's a separate vascular system that develops within the breast tissue that duplicates over time. And that regeneration and that growth is going to cause that inflammatory pattern that we're going to be seeing in a thermographic evaluation.
So when you say duplication, you're talking about the cell structure.
Yes,
itself.
Cancer cells duplicating. Okay. Yep. Typically with breasts, cancer cells typically duplicate every 30 to 90 days. And that's part of the reason why when a woman comes in to do a baseline, we do an initial breast study, and then we follow up in 90 days to look at that spread to make sure that there are no changes going on within that time period.
So I want to clear the playing field for everybody that's listening. One, thermographic imaging is extremely, extremely diagnostic and accurate given the parameters that you're talking about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And secondly, that it gives you the opportunity early on to see something and say, oh my gosh, now's the time to act before the tumor actually forms. Where in mammography, yes, which is the traditional medical approach, you actually have to have a hard mass to be able to diagnostic quality and characteristics.
Sure. And within mammography, we're looking for an anatomical piece, which we don't know what it is until we follow up with either a biopsy, a MRI, a ultrasound to find out what that mass consists of. Whereas in thermography, when we see the characteristics of an angiogenic presentation, we know that's the feeder to the tumor that actually grows that the mammogram is trying to determine. We get to see that activity 5 to 8 years prior to the mammogram being able to pick up a sizable tumor in their evaluation. Now, not to say that mammograms don't have their purpose. They do, but we can actually pick up activity or suspicious activity, you know, 5-8 years before, you know, that tumor ever shows up.
So you have a procedure that is does not have radiation, doesn't smash the breast like a typical
50 pounds of pressure.
And it picks up any kind of indicator that there's something might be a problem 5 to 8 years before the problem actually shows up.
Sure.
Why would you do anything else? Just interested.
Yeah, that's a good question. But the gold standard in this country is mammograms first, and then followed up by ultrasound, MRI. And then we are FDA approved as an adjunct to those procedures, to the mammogram. You know, in our office, many of my patients use us as the initial screening tool because they're completely, you know, avoiding going in of the pain of the mammogram, the cumulative radiation, which we know through research is causing some of the breast cancers that we're seeing, the increase in breast cancers. So they choose to do this first. And then if anything shows up, they follow up with ultrasound, mammogram, MRI. And we do encourage that. Nothing should ever be based on just one diagnostic testing.
My guest, your host this Wednesday evening, the 7th of September, Dareth Painter, 16 years in the field of thermographic imaging and She'll never let me forget that one.
Not 12.
Not 12. Sorry. Time flies for me, and I think it was yesterday. And truly, I have to say that I have a respect for this woman's capacity, her sensitivity. So, you know, Dareth, I want to get into, we're talking a little bit about what thermography is, and I want to get more in depth in that in the utilization. But also, walk us through what happens with thermography relative, and not the actual procedure. We can get into that a little bit later. But the patient comes in, you do the imaging, and then you send them out.
Yes, I actually send them out to a conglomerate of doctors. They're radiological MDs who evaluate the imaging, specifically, you know, thermographic imaging, to see if there are any suspicious indicators of a potential problem. So that report then comes back for further clinical correlation if needed. So those doctors are specialists in many different fields, from pediatrics to gynecological to oncology. So depending on the patient and what they're coming in for, we'll send it to the appropriate doctor. And a lot of my patients who come in annually typically get the same doctor year after year for consistency reasons.
You know, we get in the second half of the program. I'm going to ask you a question, one that you know has, rides up my saddle a lot.
Uh-oh.
And it's one that, you know, we can talk about relative to our opinions. But if the medical field, the allopathic field, is going to do a mammography, which has radiation, cumulative, we know that women who've had 6 mammographies over a period of time increase their risk of cancer by 60%, 70%.
Sure.
But they send them out for definition, which is an ultrasound, right?
Yes.
Mammography has all kinds of side effects. Ultrasound does not. So my question to you in the second half of the program is going to be, shouldn't one come before the other? I would think, you know, primum non nocere, first do no harm. Just thinking, that's just me going off the top of my head. I don't know, but you know, that's the way my
you
brain.
You just like to stir the pot, don't you?
I do, because I think that people have the right to think things through. And if they don't have the information, the truth, if you will, then nothing ever changes. And, you know, we're not pushing away against mammographic imaging. We're just saying there's a place, but the initial screening process may not be the place. And there's other things that would give you a lot more data with no radiation, with no damage, with no side effects.
Before no pain.
No pain at all. And the 50 pounds of pressure on the tissue can damage the tissue. And
yes.
Also, if there's cancer there, oh, by the way, can spread it simply because
yes.
You're breaking the capsule.
And if you have implants, it can also impact on the integrity of that implant. I've had, unfortunately, some patients who have had ruptured implants as a result.
You know, it's a very fascinating field. I've been involved in it for a long time. I got a lot more to discuss with you. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. My guest, Dareth Painter. She is the go-to person in our world relative to thermographic imaging, and not only for breast thermography, but for other things as well. Don't go away. We'll be right back after some very important messages. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizal. You listen to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. Indeed, I am. We have a very special program, one that is very upbeat because it's diagnostic, and it's diagnostic before there's a problem. And if you can get anything before it's problematic, you can fix it, you know, find it, fix it, and life is good. Well, my guest to discuss that is Dareth Painter. She is the head of our thermographic imaging service, Thermography Centers of Fairfax. And we're talking about breast imaging, breast thermography, but we're also going to get into, in the second half of the program, the other uses of thermographic imaging. This Wednesday evening, September the 7th, Dareth will be your host, your presenter at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. We're at 7:00. And by the way, this may be the last 7 p.m. program. We may be moving them early, but for this week, it's going to be 7 p.m., so make sure you join us. Go to rosellecare.com, rosellecare.com. Roll down, see it, register, click, or call the office at 703 698-7117. Dareth, welcome back. This is, and always has been, a very fascinating subject to me because my life has been dedicated to do things non-invasively. We're talking about thermography, particularly breast thermography and imaging. Let's go back through and talk a little bit about the, are there times when there can be a malignancy that's there in a breast tissue that mammography is better than thermographic imaging?
Yes, there clearly is. There are times where the angiogenic properties, meaning the duplication, goes into a quiescence. And at that point, we would not see an active angiogenesis within the thermographic imaging. The tumor obviously would be seen in mammography. So, you know, there are benefits and deficits to all diagnostic testing. I would never say, you know, one over the other. It just depends on the individual and where they're at. We look at things in real time. So we need to take into consideration everything that's going on with that patient and, you know, put those variables into the evaluation process so that the doctors can, you know, make the right call.
So having asked that question, let's differentiate it the opposite way. Are there times when thermographic imaging is going to be far superior, other than the elimination of the side effects, over mammography?
Sure, because we're going to be able to see the initial activity before anything is ever seen anatomically, before a tumor gets big enough to be seen in a mammography. Especially if you've got a woman who's got dense breasts. If you look at a mammography report, you're going to see that there is an inconclusive call if a woman has dense breasts because they can't assure that they're going to be able to see that anatomical, you know, it's like the princess in the pea story. If, you know, that density is so thick that they can't see it, then that grows quietly without, you know, being found.
You know, we alluded to it in the beginning and said that, you know, breast tissue genetically is the same as prostate tissue.
Yes.
And so, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are going to say, well, then, you know, will this show prostate problems, cancers, the beginning stage? Because you get guys in their later years, in, you know, they're over 70, mid 70s, and the chances of them of getting some sort of prostate cancer is high, but it usually resolves itself. It's the ones that stick are the worst. Can thermographic imaging give you a suspicion that you have a problem?
As far as
prostate cancer.
Prostate cancer, it's going to show us estrogenics as far as inflammatory markers within the body. I don't do prostate imaging. But we do look at whole body indicators as to whether or not, you know, in this case, a male has a high, inflammatory marker throughout the body. So we'll take a look at that as a potential, let's say.
So overall, if somebody wants to know their overall health, and then when we get into the second half of the program, I want to talk a little bit about brain circulatory pathways and does, you know, the ability for thermography to show that as a support diagnostic, as well as, you know, obviously all these things in my world, I'm looking at, making sure that we have blood work, you know, to follow up with, that we use ultrasounds, we use other forms of imaging when necessary. But it's a fascinating area to me. It's one that is, growing in its application, we can refine, the equipment is changing, but it also takes an intuitive sense. And I want to talk to you about that because you're highly intuitive. You're amazing with some of the calls that you make. We're coming up to a break with the bottom half of the program. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. My guest, Dareth Painter, who is the principal of Thermography Centers of Fairfax. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these very important messages.
Dr. Tom Rizzo Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizzo. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. Very special program today. One that can save lives. One that has the ability to do a, I use the word pre-cert, being able to find something way before it happens and to be able to take the step that you need to take to prevent yourself from having a major catastrophe. What are we talking about? We're talking about thermographic imaging, thermography, and we're talking about as it relates to breast tissue, because coming up, I think it's this October. It's breast thermography month, or breast cancer month, breast awareness month. My guest, Dareth Painter, she is the top dog when it comes to thermographic imaging. She has a sense that I've never seen before in many practitioners, and has assisted and worked with a group of doctors now for over 16 years that their job, all they do is they read the films or the thermographic images. And remember that images are only as good as the person that's taking them and the views that they're taking and so forth. There's a couple different things I want to get into, but I want to talk about that specifically first. When you take an image or any of the, and I know you have a couple thermographers that work for you and outside mobile sources, but that's a subject of a different story. But you have a capacity, an ability to look at something and really get, there's something that I have to explore here, and you go above and beyond the just the general required number of images, and the greatest majority of time you're right on. So does that come from experience? That does that come from just understanding your field really well and knowing you got to take the next step? And how do you hand them off to these physicians, these medical physicians? That's all they do is read these day in and day out. And, you know, they come back and I see reports where they applaud you, said, you know, we would have missed that if it hadn't been for that.
Well, I think, yes, a little bit is experience. I do have a background in psychophysiology, so I know how the body works. But also, you know, I've been around your doctors as well for 21 years. I look at things from a Western medicine perspective, but I also look at things from an Eastern medicine perspective as well. So the marriage of all of that information allows me to follow the body's messages. And that's what thermography is. It's I follow the body's way of telling me where else to look or to follow the thread. You probably won't remember, but we had a shared patient many, many years ago who she was probably in her late 70s, very active. And she kept coming in to have her knee looked at because her knee was swelling. And you would adjust her. She'd go out and do her thing and then come back. And it would start up again. You kept thinking, what is going on with this lady? And when I did her thermography, I took a full body imaging, and obviously we focused on the knee, but I kept noticing the inflammation that was going up into her hip, and I thought, what's going on with this? And we took some more images. She complained about carpal tunnel and took images of her wrists and everything else, and what we discerned was she had recently gotten back into golfing, and she had gotten an instructor. He was, you know, showing her different techniques. She was torquing her hip as well as her hand grip, which was causing the quote, you know, carpal tunnel syndromes. And it was also causing this inflammation that continued into her knee. Once you were able to work with that instructor, that symptom pattern went away. So it was just following the body's messages that were going on.
You know, it's so important in my world to understand that where the symptom is not necessarily where the problem is stemming from.
Sure.
And you have to understand the why behind it if you're ever going to fix something, because we can do a great job in putting the mechanics and the neurology and the chemistry together. But if we don't find the initiator in a case like this, it was an activity that she was doing aberrantly that was causing her problems. And that's often the key. And your ability to look at things like that is impressive and as always has been. But you pick these things up and it's make our life a whole lot easier. I want to get into, you know, kind of on the same note, thermographic imaging has to do with, and I'm going to use the word perception of aberrant physiology within the body.
Yes.
And in the gradients of heat and cold, if you will, meaning something that's chronic, something that's acute, you know, in structural sense, neurological sense, something that is acute is going to be hot. So you're going to see a greater imaging of its pictorial representation.
But I will also tell you, if there's cold in a place of the body where it's not supposed to be, that is just as important. So there is a misconception in some cases that people have that thermography only looks at heat. It really doesn't. It looks also at the lack of blood flow, which in some people, you know, we've got patients, I constantly find patients with Raynaud's syndrome. And I look at, you know, other metabolic systems to see if I can confirm that that is a possibility that could happen. So sorry for kind of jumping in there, but it's both.
You went exactly where I was going to take it anyway.
Sorry.
So thank you.
But yeah, it's looking at the body as a whole system and then finding out what is working the way it should and what isn't. And then looking at cluster, you know, behaviors within the body to find out what's going on.
It's impressive when that takes place. You know, what I was going to bring out based on the gradients of hot and cold, and they're both important and you have to distinguish between them. And you'll see me and, you know, I drive people crazy in the office. I walk into the office or I'm in an elevator with somebody and people that don't even know. Mm-hmm. And guys are notorious for this. They have their cell phones in their pocket next to their heart. And our cell phones produce a huge amount of low volt electromagnetic irritation or radiation. And we know that it can cause, and I've done testing where we have a strong or fully facilitated muscle, and I take a cell phone, I put it over reflexes associated with that muscle, and the muscle immediately inhibits or weakens on them. But here's the point that I'm bringing out. When you have a cell phone over any area of body organic systems, whether it's the heart or whether it's the stomach or whether any place like that, ovaries, genitals, doesn't matter. You're causing a radiation exposure to those areas that are, it's not just a little bit occasionally, it's significant, impactful. So here's where I'm leading, and I know that you know where I'm going with this. Years ago, they used to make bras for women that they can tuck their cell phones in, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
if you go online and you look, breast cancers due to cell phone radiation, you're going to see some very ugly pictures. So ladies and guys, those cell phones that you have on your body over these important areas, don't do it. You're destroying your body. So here's my question to you. When you're doing a thermographic imaging, does that silliness show up in a very specific
100%.
Way?
100%. I mean, I'm sitting here laughing because I can't tell you how many times you've told my sons who have their laptops on their lap, get that laptop off of your lap because you're zapping your ability to have children. Same type of thing with women who, you know, I go out, I saw a woman just last week at Costco and she's got her cell phone tucked right into her bra. And I'm sitting there going, oh my God, she has no clue that she's, you know, God forbid she have the BRCA2 gene. She could be turning on that gene into a pathological process. So yes, we do see that. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that I'm going to do on Wednesday is to actually take the thermographic camera to show how much heat is exposed to the body. It's not good. And, you know, we've seen time and time again, I just saw an article of back in 2012, I think it was, a local girl here got breast cancer at 21. That's unheard of, to have breast cancer at the age of 21. But when they looked at the area of where she had the breast cancer, it's exactly where she was packing her cell phone on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, with everybody having run off and gotten all these vaccines and the boosters and so forth. And again, this is Tom Rosell talking based on evidence that's been published. We know that it's increasing the risk of a lot of different things across the board. It's an easy segue to say that it's going to increase cancer. So now you take that and you add cell phone exposure to it.
Sure.
And now you've got a problem, much more so. But this Wednesday evening, the 7th, and I'd like to invite anyone, not just women, but guys, listen,
yeah,
here's
absolutely.
An opportunity to find out, you know, if these things are affecting you and take advantage of it. This is a non-invasive procedure. And by the way, there's no obligation. Just come and get the data. Listen to this woman. She's brilliant. She understands the playing field. She gets it completely. And, you know, she will answer questions that are very specific relative to what these exposures can do, but also remember what we said in the first part of the program. The thermographic imaging, when it comes to breast cancer, can pick things up 5 to 8 years before the mass, the hard mass, the cancer actually shows up. Wow, that's huge, because in my world, if I can pick something up early, I can help that patient. And mm-hmm. you don't have to be our patient. I mean, you all have great doctors out there, you know,
yeah.
so you bring them the data, you bring them the information. Here, it brings me up to another piece of the puzzle, Dareth. Are all physicians receptive to the reporting that we get back, or you get back, not we, but you get back from your docs that read this and understand that there's something there and triggers them to take a next step and help that patient?
Had you asked me that question 10 years ago, I would have said yes. Now, I would tell you no, not really, because more, first of all, the doctors who are writing the reports are MDs. So it's MD to MD. But what we're finding is there, especially since COVID, because thermographic cameras were being used all over the place for fever screening all over the world.
And we have one in our office.
Yes, we do. It was the first line of defense in people with fevers and who showed symptomatic, you know, temperature raising. So doctors are more apt to look at the information, because more and more women, more and more patients are refusing or avoiding the mammograms. And I tell folks, I'm not opposed to mammograms. I'm just opposed to where it's being used as far as the order in which it's used, because I think that there's a lot of advantage to the thermography. Plus, you don't have to worry about the cumulative radiation. You don't have to worry about the pain, because it is uncomfortable. And ladies, we all know that. So I'd rather people not avoid breast health and do something that is non-invasive, is painless, that is going to visually show you what's going on. It's going to show your estrogen levels, and it's also going to show your axillary, your armpit area, where your lymph nodes are. A mammogram doesn't do that. So there are, you know, significant advantages to doing a thermographic imaging and doing it on an annual basis, just to make sure that, you know, there isn't anything that's going unnoticed.
You know, here's an interesting situation as well, that, you know, a lot of physicians will send out for low back films or neck films or, mm-hmm. you know, joint space irritation. And often the problem's not there. There's a lot of patients that come in and get snip and cut, as I talk. They'll have surgery on a joint, and it never resolves the problem, because that's not where the problem is coming from.
Right.
But if you enhance it with a thermographic picture, if you will, that thermographic picture can tell you where the acute process, the acute starting point is, that may be related to where the symptom procedure is. And
sure.
we're seeing more and more of that evidence. But let's talk about other cancers. You say that you can do full body imaging.
Yes.
So we're taking pictures of the thoracic area, the front, the back, and different areas. What does that show up? Why is that useful? Why is that helpful? You know, it's.
So what we look for is, we obviously cannot look at the organ system itself, but we'll look to see whether or not the system is working, the metabolic stability of that area. So that there are characteristics of certain lung cancers, heart problems, you know, arthritis. I mean, I'm going beyond the cancer question, but there are certain characteristics that the body is going to show you that are indicative of a problem that could be confirmed by additional clinical correlation.
Let's talk a little bit about the rise in scare and fear, if you will, in dementia. Alzheimer's, old age dementias, dementias due to biochemical exposures and so forth. Can thermographic imaging be useful in noticing the initial onsets of something like that that may be taking place?
We can look at things from the standpoint of whether or not systems are working properly, heart function, immune function, thyroid, looking at how all those systems correlate into the dementia aspect, obviously.
Gareth, hold that thought. Let's finish it up. We're coming up to a break, and we have to pay attention to our sponsors. So we'll jump right back on that when we come back. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. Indeed, this is me. You know, we do this program every Sunday and try to bring you the most informative and sometimes extremely cutting edge information that can help you and help others. And we thank you for listening in, and we thank you for telling everybody about it, because we get tons of emails after the show, and I try my best to get back to you immediately. If you'd like somebody to talk to you directly, call the office, 703-698-7117, and say, hey, I want to talk to somebody about, and they'll make that happen. Somebody will call you that day. But we'll always get back to you. And again, I would be remiss if I didn't thank our men and women in service for all the things that you do for us to allow us to do what we do. And if anything, you need whatever it is that you need, please reach out to me, and I'll do my best to make that happen for you. My guest today, Gareth Painter, the principal of Thermography Centers of Fairfax, shall be your host and your presenter at the Results Center in Fairfax this Wednesday, September the 7th. And she's going to be talking about thermographic imaging and breast cancer, but she's going to take it far beyond that. She's going to talk about its applications to so many different things, including wellness, and what happens, if she spots something that is not right, and why this can be far more effective than mammographic imaging. And in our opinion, some of the things that you should do to help protect yourself. Gareth, before we broke, welcome back. We were talking a little bit about dementia. Let's walk through that a little bit. Does thermographic imaging have the ability to spot a potential dementia brewing early on, so something can be acted upon and perhaps save an ugly situation that's developing?
It can look at systems. It cannot look at the brain, obviously, because you've got the skull that encompasses the brain. But it can look at different systems within the body to look at characteristics of dementia or dementia-like patterns. There are different ways to look at things. That would be obviously up to the radiological doctor who's evaluating the imaging, as well as your own physician. As I've mentioned before, thermographic imaging is the missing piece of the puzzle in many cases. It gives you a visual of how the body is responding through inflammation and constriction. So it, like I said, it's that missing piece that I think a lot of people look for to make solid decisions on how to move forward with their health and well-being and any procedures they may be contemplating.
Gareth, is thermography useful in diagnostics of diseases or pathology or conditions of the eye?
Yes. It can look at the area within the eye to see if there's anything going on from the standpoint of, I continually, when I do the breast scans, I'm always looking at the face and the thyroid area, but eyes as well, allergies, any type of inflammatory disorder of the eyelids or the eye sockets. There's a lot of areas we can look into that.
I was talking to a patient the other day, actually in the hallway, and they were coming out of, and they were talking about going to their doctor because the doctor was worried about retinal degeneration, not detachment, but degeneration.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how do they find it and so forth? And the typical clue, but they said they're going to watch and wait. And so I said, make sure you talk to Gareth, because watching and waiting sometimes gets you in trouble, where you can be more proactive to see something happen.
We can monitor. We can also look at treatment efficacy as well.
That's big. That's huge for, yeah, you know, for a lot of people. That's important. Dareth, we're coming up to that unfortunate part of the program where, you know, we have to say goodbye to everybody. This Wednesday evening, the 7th, at our office in Fairfax, join Dareth Painter and learn as much as you can about thermographic imaging. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. Remember, we continue to do this only for one reason. We love you all.